Welcome to The Foundry, where leaders are forged daily. Each week, we investigate themes of leadership, entrepreneurship, and mindset with some of the greatest minds in real estate. And now, the data scientist of real estate, George Roberts.
All right, welcome back, entrepreneurs. So this is round two of our interview with Diana Lin. She is an architect, developer, sponsor, and also has single family home experience. Interesting story about how she got into that after becoming a multifamily sponsor. You can check that out in the first episode. But with that, just want to welcome you to the show for round two. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So you had a great post recently on LinkedIn. You're talking about the importance of comps and looking at currently achieved rents in one of your recent deals. I wish I had it with me right now. I could put it up. Okay, actually, here it is. I pulled it up and I thought this was a great post because for me, it highlighted a lot of the valuable insights that certainly I've taken away from doing your due diligence. Like, for example, making sure that you have solid comps. And if you've got the currently achieved rents, that's probably the safest way to say, you know, hey, this is what we can actually achieve at this property. But would you like to kind of go through this deal and tell us some of the things that you learned and some of the insights that our audience can take away?
Yeah, so this this poster you're talking about is highlighting my first deal. It's a 22 unit deal in Glendale, Arizona. So a lot I've learned through this process, right? So I basically laid out kind of highlights of what I learned through this deal. And so essentially what I mentioned before, we worked with an experienced operator, our partner in this deal, to find this particular community, 22 unit community. And so when they underwrote the deal, they plugged in the rents that they've already achieved across the street. And they own an apartment that is about 2-3 minutes away from this deal. And so because it's such a close comp, the 28 unit deal, they are able to kind of plug that in into this deal, and the deal penciled, right? If we were to look at this deal without our partner or without this insider quote unquote information of the nearby property, we probably would have underwrote something else a little bit more conservative, something that we thought made sense. And that probably wouldn't be as an attractive deal if we plug in that number. Not only that, but we also use another reputable source like CoStar to check and double check on our comps. And even CoStar, some of the numbers were outdated, right? So even taking the 28 unit deal, they were putting in outdated actual rents. So I learned over the years that it's not always reliable to look at these type of resources. It's good as a point of reference, but if you really want to double check, you call them directly to plug in the numbers, right? So a lot of times some beginner operators would just kind of take it for face value on the CoStar report and just said, this is relatively accurate and it's on to the next. But I found that it's not always the case. You do need to actually call these properties to get real numbers because it changes every day or every week, right?
So it does, and it can go backwards too. So I love the idea of secret shopping. A lot of people will skip that step. I don't know why, but people I think have just gotten way too shy ever since computers have come to the forefront.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it was helpful to have a partner in a deal who already has a property across the street to plug in actual numbers. And so what was also helpful is that because it's such a small property, 22 unit deal, the property manager that we ended up using typically does not take a deal smaller than 100 unit, right? they took on this deal because of that relationship with our partner, right? Our partner has 5 to 8 properties at that time in the Phoenix MSA area. They want to continue that relationship with them. And so if we were just ourselves without our partner, they wouldn't take a second look at it, right? But because we had a strong partner, an operator, they took on this 22 unit deal to manage for our property. And so I thought that was pretty neat to leverage other partners' expertise and presence in the market to be able to get a more professional property manager to handle a small deal like this. And so, yeah, we another bullet point that I covered is the fact that when we underwrote the deal, we assumed all 22 units were not renovated. So we underwrote for $9,000 a door. When we flew in, when I flew in to do the due diligence, found out that, in fact, all of them were already renovated. So that just made the deal look even better. But we didn't know it was until we actually do our due diligence. At that time, we're under contract, already put in our hard money. We did get a kind of a soft look to it before we put in our hard money, but we only were able to walk 2 or 3 units, and the 2 or 3 units were renovated, but we assumed the rest, like half of them maybe, or 3/4 of them were not renovated. So that's why we underwrote 9,000 a door. But when we actually walked through each unit, when we're under contract, they were in fact renovated. So that was a nice surprise.
Yeah, beautiful stuff. I love it. And, you know, I got to say, boring is the new sexy, finding some super close comps, knowing that the business model is validated. That's huge. The mm-hmm. The more boring you can make these deals, the more exciting it is to me, at least.
Right.
Personal opinion.
Uh-huh.
So from there, let's go back to architecture, because you have a great story of grit. Okay, so you graduated, I believe it was 2008. No jobs for new architects in the US, right? The housing market had just blown up. Obviously, different story if you'd had experience, but you're just out of college. And so rather than just trying to fight over the scraps or give up, which is what an ordinary person might do, you describe yourself as having taken your 5th grade Chinese language skills and went to a place that had a great housing market. At the time, China's real estate market just continuing to grow and grow throughout and beyond the Great Recession. So tell us about that experience.
Yeah, I mean, I graduated and it was really tough to find a job. I sent over like 100 applications to different companies. Mm-hmm. And I graduated from the top school in the nation. It was like architecture was number one ranking, and so I thought it would be relatively easy, but it wasn't, especially when the market was like crashed, right? So it took a bit to kind of find something in the US, but I saw opportunity in Beijing, in China, right? So my husband and I, you know, my husband was also, he was having trouble finding a job because he's a real estate attorney. So he got laid off, right, at his firm in New York City. So we're like, you know what, let's just go to China, right? So we just flew to China. We didn't have any job lined up. We traveled for a month. Then I got a couple offers coming in, one in like Shanghai, one in Hong Kong, one in Beijing, right? And then I had a flight to go back to Houston where my family is, and I was going to go to another event. So I was planning to go back to the US, but I got a job offer in Beijing, China, and I was in Hong Kong at that time. So I just skipped that flight, booked another flight just direct from Hong Kong to Beijing with my traveling bag. So I only had like a duffel bag and I just went straight to Beijing and looked for housing, and I roomed with strangers, like I found them online and got a place to stay. In 2 weeks, I started working my first job in China. So I just knew that I just had to be flexible, and I always knew that China was in the radar, and I've just made it happen. I'm just like, didn't want to think about the logistics. I have like 2 boxes of stuff I shipped over to my parents' house in Houston that I didn't know where I was going to go, and either anywhere in the US or international, just anywhere, right? I just want to go somewhere. Found a job in Beijing, and I was there for at least 2 years. And it was a great experience as an architect and just living there in general.
I just love this story. more people should pivot like that, we'd have more success in the world. But leaving that aside, you've got to send us the photo of you on the Great Wall of China. We're definitely going to put that up for the video version. But good stuff. All right, well, here one more because we love to talk about passionate living here. That's one of the themes of my book upcoming. And I think that investors, entrepreneurs, really everybody, but those of us who have the means, investors, entrepreneurs, should just live their life as passionately as possible. I know you've done some other exciting travel in Asia. You have a great story about Indonesia. So I'll just leave it there for you to pick up.
So this one's an interesting story because this is before kids and my husband and I were just boyfriend and girlfriends. We love traveling. So I saw something on the National Geographic and I'm like, I want to go there. And it's blue lava, right? I'm like, I want to see that. So I basically helped my husband kind of like plan the trip and then we just traveled there. We were there for 2 weeks. And so this remote mountain spews out blue lava. And this blue lava isn't really truly blue lava. It's really sulfuric gas that meets oxygen and then sparks blue. And so it looks like it's blue lava, right? And you can only see it in pitch dark and midnight, like at 2 or 3 a.m. So I even talked to my Indonesian friends who live in Indonesia for 10, 20 years, and they were in Dallas when I was told them about this place. I was like, I never heard of this place. So they had no idea this existed. And I just saw this like small article about this area. So I'm like, I'm gonna make my trek there. So we went there and the hike starts at 12 a.m. And we at that time were preparing for this hike. So we actually had this grade A sulfuric, it's like acid mask that we kept on during the hike. It was very hard to breathe, but we knew that it was something necessary because it was sulfuric gas, which is not very healthy, not very good to breathe. But while we're
I
hiking,
think I'm sure it also must smell horrible.
oh gosh,
Do you smell it through the mask?
it smells like rotten
Oh
egg.
yeah.
It's like smell terrible. But so then this gas mask doesn't even filter the smell out, but you get used to it, right? And this is a Kawah Ijen, right? So Kawah Ijen is the mountain that we hike. So anyone that's interested listening to this, definitely check it out. Anyways, we're hiking and there's
We got
also,
to get some pictures from this too,
oh
please.
man, I have
Send
pictures.
us.
Much better than the Great Wall hike. It's like we're just standing in this mountain with a spew of gas in steam of gas behind us, and we're just like holding our sulfuric rock with a gas mask. Anyways, we were hiking this mountain at starting at 12 a.m. and we're actually hiking along with these miners, right? These Indonesian miners. They carry sulfuric rocks that they use. These are minerals that is used in soaps and other products and cosmetic products, but these rocks that carry up and down a mountain for 8 to 12 hours a day, making $7 just to carry these rocks up and down. They don't have these medical masks that we were using. They use scarves around their mouth, right, to filter out the gas. And this miner asked us to be our tour guide because all he asked for is not money. He was asking for masks, right, at the end of the tour. So we generously, would accept his offer. And so even after he gave us a kind of quote unquote tour of the hike itself, we gave him our mask, both of our masks, and also even money, right, just to help him out. But essentially, they carry 200 pounds up and down the mountain, right, for $7 a day. And you see at least 15 or 20 miners going up and down while we were just there to look at these blue lavas. But yeah, it was a crazy experience because my husband, I guess he wasn't as adventurous as me, just kind of freaking out with his gas everywhere. And then I'm just like, I had my DSLR. I was like taking photos of a blue lava, and then there's this like huge gas coming along our way, this spew of steam coming in, and he's just like, get out of the way. I was like, it's fine. I was like, it's all right. And so I just like went head in to just explore. And so at the end we were happy with that experience. It was just like out of body experience just to see all that happen, being able to see blue lava. But when the sun rised, it became red. It became like a regular lava, right? But only at night was when you could see it was like bright, shiny bright blue. So it's nothing that I've ever seen before, and it was just great.
Wow, awesome story. And I'm so glad we had the opportunity to go into that because there are just so many amazing things in the world. And, you know, how in the world would we ever know? Never know. I'm sorry, how in the world would we ever know? And you found that through National Geographic. How awesome. How awesome. Well, so here, before we head into the lightning round, I always like to ask one whimsical question. All right. So, Diana, what is your favorite junk food?
Oh my gosh. Oh man, my guilty pleasure is let me think. I have so many. Like Pringles. Those are my easy go-to. So it's like it's just so addictive. I'll just eat a whole bunch, and now my kids are obsessed with it too.
I love it. Yeah, there was a time in my life that those Pringles were just, I couldn't be beat. All right. Well, with that, let's wrap it up with the seven. You ready?
Sure, hopefully.
All right, it's gonna be beautiful. All right. If you could be known for just one thing, what would it be?
Generous.
Beautiful. What's the greatest lesson in leadership you have learned as an entrepreneur?
Biggest lesson I learned as an entrepreneur is to lead without fear.
What personal characteristic has been most pivotal to your success?
To listen. Listen
Love it.
and
This is the
to.
best lightning round ever. Everybody has like 10 paragraph answers. We got one word answers here. All right,
Yeah,
here.
I know, right?
Here. Okay. Here's the dose of randomness. I've got my random question card. Just tell me when to stop cutting the deck. We'll take the top card. All right. Aha. Wow, this is going to be a hard question because you've done so many cool things. But the question is, what's on your bucket list?
Oh gosh, I always have traveling in my bucket list, right? But my bucket list is to go to all the different sand beaches in the world. So I like the green sand beach, a pink sand beach, the red sand beach, black sand beach. I think I've been to half of them so far. I just want to go around and just go to all of them.
I love it. That's beautiful. What is one tip or trick that investors can implement in their businesses today?
Man, that's a tricky one. There's so many. The tips and tricks, I think, is to go to networking events and sh keep showing up, and always try to, as I mentioned before, listen and to give, right? Because then that to me helped me in the long term, because people remember and they want to work with you because of your generosity of listening and giving, right? If you're out there being, if you're self-centered and you're only doing it for yourself but not for others, you're likely not going to have a lot of outsized influence. So that's what I would suggest, is to go out there and find a way to provide value to others without expecting anything.
Beautiful. And I think that Definitely. This has been a very memorable interview. So I don't think people have any trouble remembering you after this. Can you name a book that's helped to forge you as a leader, entrepreneur, or investor? And tell us how it impacted you.
Yeah, I mean, it really all kind of ties together. And that book, it was actually one of the books that I see a lot kind of recommended on LinkedIn, The Go-Giver, right? With Bob Berg, is to just go around and just give without the expectation of getting anything back, right? So I recommend anyone who's interested in learning that basic concept. It seems pretty obvious, but when you actually see it or read it, I listened to it in Audible, but it just made a lot of sense. And I kind of been doing it, but I didn't really understand the benefit of it until it was kind of solidified as a concept in the book. Then I started to do it a lot more often. So I think that's a great book to reference.
Yeah, and I have to say, we live in the age of the loss leader, so this podcast is an example of that. Can you send us out with a quote to help forge our listeners as leaders and entrepreneurs?
I'll give you a quote that would help, or I'm not a quote person. I Man, the quote is to just be willing to give up some time to help others, right? And that itself is going to help you in the long run, right?
Good. I love it. I love it. The original quotes are definitely the best ones. So perfect. Perfect. Perfect there. Well, I just want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to reach out to Diana Lynn. What is the best way to do so?
So you can reach me on LinkedIn, Diana Lynn. It's a pretty generic name, but I'm sure if they reach out to you to ask for exact Diana Lynn, then you'll be able to.
Oh no,
I
there's
wish
only
my
one
name is
like
as
you. There's
interesting
not going to
as
be any
yours.
problem there.
I wish my name is as interesting as yours because you're George Robert III, or but you can find the name is like Diana Lynn AIA, right? And I'm also on Instagram. It's Navi underscore ventures underscore RE, or my personal Instagram, the Diana Lynn. And I have a website, navi-ventures.com. So there's a lot of ways to reach out to me, but I'm most active on LinkedIn.
All right, beautiful. And I am too. That's how we met through Fiona's challenge, which was a great thing. Met a lot of great people through that. And then just to wrap it up, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to share your knowledge and experience with our audience.
Yes, pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And it was my pleasure.